Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We thank the Lord for 21 years now we have been bringing these messages to you. We praise the Lord for this radio station, for all the prayers and provision, and most of all for you, the listener, as you tune in each and every Sunday for the messages the Lord has given us. Today, if you're tuning in for the first time, we say welcome to you. We hope you come back each and every Sunday also. And for those of you who've been listeners for many years, we appreciate you, we thank you, and we also say we hope you come back each and every Sunday. Today, we're going to be talking about two baptisms, baptism of water for repentance, for remission of sin, and then also the baptism of the Spirit, as John talked about in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. So we'll take. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Today we're going to be talking about two baptisms. We'll get to that here in just a minute. First, I want to give you a brief update. What's going on there in Kenya? We've started on the school, the primary school, Living Water School of Makunda, and we have a beautiful 1 acre and then another acre beside us that is promised. So we have 2 acres there together, right beside the children's home and right beside the church. And so we want to build a primary school for 200 to 300 students of Makunda Village. Very poor village, very poor children. Most of the people in that area make about $3 a day on the average. And so we want to give these children a good basic education, ABCs, and also steeped in a Christian environment where we can teach them stories of the Bible, teach them songs of the Bible. And many of these children coming will be of a different faith. And so it'll be an evangelism opportunity, a chance to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus. And that's the best time to reach them, when they're children. And so you can be a part of this project. It's going to be 3 separate buildings with classrooms and dining room, kitchen, and administrative block. And so it's going to be 3 separate buildings, about $300,000 to build the whole thing and then stock it with desks and blackboards and computers, all the things that these children need to have a good basic education. Pray about your part in helping us. If you want details, if you want to see pictures or copies of the architect drawings, email me pureprairie@hotmail.com. That's pureprairie@hotmail.com. I can get these details to you, the architectural drawings, anything that you have questions about, feel free to ask and we can get you the information that you need. Well, today we're going to be talking about two baptisms, and this is a very big subject in the gospel, the New Testament gospel, and many people don't see it. They read the gospel, and because of tradition, because of religious spirit, they don't see everything that God is trying to show them there. And so I want to show you and talk about this in a way that is unbiased, unfiltered, and is the full gospel of the kingdom of God, the full gospel preached and taught by Jesus Christ. And it was first broached or first talked about here in the New Testament in the book of Matthew, chapter 3. And Matthew records this because it is very important. And so it's one of the first things recorded after the genealogy of Jesus and the appointing of the apostles. Then he records this to tell us what is the purpose of Jesus Christ coming to the earth. Why did Jesus? And of course, there are several different things that you could lump into that subject category that Jesus came to the earth to do. Salvation being the primary one is for to reconcile us back to God, our Creator. But also, the Holy Spirit of God is given to us as a result of salvation. And so this is the subject that Matthew is bringing up here. Talks about a story about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is out in the wilderness area at this time, and he's baptizing people. with the water from the Jordan River. He's putting them down in the Jordan River, and they are being baptized for repentance, for the remission of their sin. And so people are coming out to John. The Pharisees are coming out. Verse 7 in Matthew chapter 3, when John saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." So John is warning these people, especially the religious elite, those who claim to know God, those who claim to be speaking for God. He's warning them that there is coming a person or coming a time when there will be accountability, there will be judgment on those who claim to know God and preach the oracles of God or speak the oracles of God, and yet they do not live a godly life and they do not have repentance in their heart. In other words, they don't understand the gravity of their sin. They don't understand why God is sending Jesus Christ to the earth. And we are in the same situation, the same category today. Many, many people don't understand the gravity of sin. They don't understand the reason why Jesus went to the cross, shed his precious, perfect blood for them. And so we have religious elite and the non-religious elite also, I guess you would say, those who claim to know God or those who don't claim to know God but still feel like they have everything under control here on this earth. And so John is saying, even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. In other words, he's saying that the die is cast and that the time for repentance is now, the time to take into account the judgment is coming is right now, and the time to do it for each and every person is when you hear the message, when you've been given the message, and when you are convicted of your sin. That is the time to say, "Yes, Lord, I want to have your blood cover my sin. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior because I understand that I am a sinner. I understand that I am in need of a Savior. I'm understanding that I know that the blood that you shed on the cross and at the whipping post, the blood that you shed seven different ways during the time of the Passion, during the time of your crucifixion, that blood is sufficient to cover my sin, to roll back my sin." And so that is what John is saying. He's warning these people that that time is now. Well, in verse 11, then John brings up the idea of two baptisms. And this is just as plain and clear in the gospel as any other scripture in the gospel. It's plain and clear for anyone who reads it, prays about it, sees it, and meditates on it. And so John is saying in verse 11, this is a prophecy, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And so that is the declaration right there. That is the prophecy of Jesus Christ, the one coming. And John was called the forerunner. He was out in the wilderness speaking about Jesus. He was actually a cousin of Jesus. He was out in the wilderness by himself, baptizing people with the water of the Jordan River, baptizing them for repentance, for the remission of their sins. And this was a forerunner of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And at one point, John had to back away, or he was actually beheaded in prison. And he said, "I must decrease, and the one who's coming after me, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, he must increase." So John realized that he had given his time, and his time was up. that he had fulfilled his purpose in the kingdom of God, that his time was up, and he was actually beheaded, that in the natural, his time was certainly up. And so Jesus then, at that point, became the minister of the gospel, and Jesus also became the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. So let me read that verse 11 again. It's just as plain as day. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And his winnowing fan, verse 12, is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Well, people say Jesus never talked about hell. Well, there's one example, and there's many, many in the book of Matthew and in other gospels as well. But I've heard people say, well, in the book of Matthew, Jesus never talked about hell. Well, right there is one. He says he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That is a picture of hell. It's a picture of the combine or the threshing floor. His winnowing fan, this is a picture of the threshing floor, which is the gathering of the wheat into the barn at the end of the age. The gathering of the wheat and the tares are separated. The chaff is separated, just like when you see a combine out there in the field in western Kansas. You see this big stream of chaff blowing out the back end, and it sometimes is spread with a spreader, or sometimes you can put it in a windrow, make hay out of it. But the chaff does not go up into the grain tank, and it does not go into the barn because it has no real value. It's pretty much valueless, except for bedding and that kind of stuff. But the chaff is the part that is worthless. It has no value. And just as Jesus says here, he will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Beloved, that's a picture of hell, where the worm never dies, where the fire never goes out. And it is a reality. And just as heaven is a reality, hell is also a reality. I'm not going to preach about hell today. I'm not going to dwell on that, but do a study, a word study on hell in the Bible, and it's spoken about even in the Old Testament. They had an idea and a concept of hell. And so even today, you have to understand that sin has to be accounted for. Sin has to be judged. We serve a righteous and a holy God. Our Creator is a righteous and a holy God, and we have to be judged because sin has to be accounted for and it has to be dealt with. And those who do not repent, those who do not cry out to the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my ways, those who do not repent, then they will spend eternity in that place where there is unquenchable fire. They will spend eternity there, separated from God, separated from the love and the grace and the mercy of God, because they refuse to acknowledge their sin. They refuse to acknowledge the Savior who shed his precious blood for them. And so their eternal destiny is to be in that place of unquenchable fire. Water baptism is to stand before God with a good conscience. We have to make an account of our sins before God, and so we have to understand that to have a good conscience, you have to repent of the sins that you have committed. Well, in that scene of the baptism of Jesus Christ, shortly after John spoke these words, you can imagine John standing there in the Jordan River preaching to the Pharisees, preaching to the Sadducees. And shortly after he spoke those words, in verse 13, it says, then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan River to be baptized by John. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and yet you are coming to me. And Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then John allowed him. Well, what Jesus was saying was, this is the righteous thing to do to fulfill the plan of God. This is the righteous thing to do to fulfill God's plan for my life. Jesus was as a human. He was living as a human. He was the Son of God, but he was also the Son of Man. He had the same temptations, the same struggles, the same trials that you and I do. And he was living as a man. He was living in a man's body. And so he was saying, this is done. In other words, this baptism is done to fulfill all righteousness. And it's the right thing to do in the eyes of God. And it's the right thing to do as a man here on the earth. And so that's our example. He is our example in everything. Jesus is the example that we follow. We are predestined to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, and we're also predestined to be holy like Jesus Christ. It's something that we can strive for. And so then John baptized Jesus, and in verse 16, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Well, that verifies or validates Jesus' idea, what Jesus spoke, that this was done to fulfill all righteousness. Because when Jesus came up out of the water, a voice spoke from heaven, a dove came and lit on Jesus, signifying the Holy Spirit then was with Jesus. He had been baptized with the Holy Spirit by his Father. And then the Father spoke, and then some heard suddenly a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Well, beloved, that is what God will speak over you when you are water baptized, that this is God's beloved Son, in whom he is well pleased. If you have never been water baptized, you need to contact a pastor. You need to contact an elder of a church, somebody who has already been baptized, make arrangements. And I strongly suggest you attend a church, you belong to a church, join a church if you haven't already, a good Bible-believing church. But if you've never been baptized, I urge you to get baptized, contact a pastor, contact an elder, or another person that you know is a man or woman of God, and talk to them about baptism. And you can even email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. I can arrange to get you baptized. And so this is an important step in the life of a believer. And so I'm going to refer to Romans chapter 6. Because Romans chapter 6 is the most comprehensive discussion of water baptism in the New Testament. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking, who speaks the word of Jesus, speaks for the words of Jesus. And so the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 6, talking about baptism, water baptism, in relation to sin. Chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we shall also walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. And so we see the Apostle Paul is drawing a picture here of baptism as a picture of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And when you think about baptism, immersion baptism, You go down into the water. You're fully immersed in the water. Every part of you, every cell of your body, even your hair and your toenails are covered by the water. And so you're buried in that water. You're buried. Your sins are buried. It's symbolically representing the washing of your sins away by the word of God, by the blood of Jesus, washing of the sins. The old man kept you in that life and bondage of sin that is washed away by every drop of water representing the blood of Jesus washing your sins away. And then you're raised up in newness of life. You're raised up just as Jesus came up out of that grave, out of that tomb after 3 days. You are raised up to walk in newness of life. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, the old is passed away. All things are new. And so you are put down in the water. Your sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus. You're raised up out of the water, and you are resurrected just as Jesus was resurrected after 3 days to walk in newness of life. Well, in verse 6 in Romans chapter 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Jesus, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Okay, so Paul is saying that when you go down into the water and your sins are washed away, the slate is clean, the time and the opportunity for you to rid yourself and to break the chains of sin, the bondage of sin, is right then. And that you come up out of that grave and you walk in newness of life, that the old body of sin is done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Well, that doesn't mean that you're never going to have temptation. That doesn't mean that you're never going to have struggle. It doesn't mean that you're never going to have demons oppress you and torment you. We know that that happens because we see people in the body of Christ, they struggle with different sins after they're baptized. And so the opportunity is there positionally, symbolically, in relationship to God. The opportunity there is to come up out of that watery grave as a new creation. The slate is clean. You start all over with a new page, and the opportunity then is to walk in newness of life without that bondage of sin, that old life of sin holding you back. Well, again, we know that doesn't always happen 100% because we still have the flesh, our body of flesh. We still have our soul that is attached to the world, soul ties attached to the world. But the opportunity positionally is there for us to walk in newness of life. Well, verse 7, Paul says, "For he who has died has been freed from sin." Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him. So positionally, you are now saved. Positionally, you now walk in the glory of God. You walk under an open heaven. You walk in relationship with God as a child of God. When you come up out of the waters of baptism, due to your confession, the waters don't save you. They don't save you in the way that they've cleansed your skin from dirt. The waters save you. The blood of Jesus saves you in your confession because you're making an appeal to God for a pure conscience standing before God. You've repented of your sins. You've confessed your sin, and you're standing before God making an appeal with a new conscience, a clear conscience, as you stand before God. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Verse 8, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him. We no longer fear death. We no longer are focused on our death and full of fear. We can go forward in boldness. We can go forward with a new purpose in life, God's given purpose for our life, and we can go forward knowing that God is going to bless us. We are still capable and do sin, but we can ask God to forgive us. We can repent of our sin. Even after baptism, we can repent of our sin, and God is faithful and true to forgive us. God's grace and his mercy is sufficient that we can live each day knowing that we walk under the open heaven of God with the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ to cover our life. Well, next time we're going to be talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire, the second part of the baptism. And so you'll want to tune in next week and not miss that broadcast here on this station. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We love to bring you these broadcasts. We love to talk to you about the message of the gospel. We need the blessings of the Lord and the blessings of man to keep doing this. We also have that project going over there in Kenya, building that primary school. We'd love to have you get a hold of that project and be a part of that project. Again, we're going to need about $300,000 to finish and complete that project, and I believe somebody can help us out there today. If you have any questions, contact me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. Let me know that you are interested. Let me know you're listening. We need support also to keep this radio broadcast coming each and every Sunday. After 21 years, I don't take for granted that the support for this broadcast is just going to keep coming. I trust the Lord that it will, but it takes people to get involved. It takes people to step up and say, I want to help with that school project. I want to help keep this radio broadcast coming. By the grace of God, it will happen. So we thank you for listening today. We thank you for your participation. Sit down today. We'd love to hear from you. Sit down, write us out a check. Let us know that you're listening. Include prayer requests if you have them, and we would be happy to pray with you for the burdens that are weighing you down, and we would be happy to bless you in that way as you bless us. Our contact information, Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. That's Gather the Outcast, Box 92. Check us out on PayPal, paypal.me/Gather the Outcast. That's paypal.me/Gather the Outcast. And you can look at our pictures of the ministry on Facebook, facebook.com/Jim Rao. We'd love to hear from you today. Thank you again. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.